My aunt refused to go to my sister's wedding because my sister didn't ask for our aunt for her okay to get engaged. So she boycotted the wedding. I'd be like, good, don't come. What? Why does an aunt need to give approval? That's like unheard of. Interesting. I was doing wedding photography and was not told goats would be at the part of the ceremony nor the reception. No one had control of them, and they loved my equipment and me. Let's just say I had to replace wires and cards they ate, wedding picture cards tripped on, walked on, watched the wedding cake get knocked over, tables jumped on, and they ate the bride's flower bouquet. It's chaos. All right, guys, so this is gonna be a different kind of episode today. We're gonna be doing a kind of where are they now? If you remember episode 7, we had Suzanne Lambert on, and the story we read was about a new daughter-in-law having some issues with her future mother-in-law. It ends up where they're pushing some boundaries. There's an issue in a pantry of some sort. It gets pretty crazy. Suzanne and I were just kind of like jaws dropped, right? So I reached out to this person and said, would you want to come on and share a little bit more about what happened, answer our questions, and then where are you guys at now? And she said, of course. So I just want to jump right into her story. At the beginning, I'm going to play a little segment from episode 7 so you can kind of be reminded. But if you've not listened to that episode, go back and watch that one first or listen to that one first, as you can kind of come up with your own questions of like, what happened here? And you know what? We have a really good discussion. Without further ado, here is my chat with this anonymous guest sharing their story. Enjoy. Hi there. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
All right. So before we started recording, we said we were going to keep you anonymous today because we have a kind of crazy story to dive into today. For those of you guys listening, they're like, what is she talking about? I think it was episode 7. I had Suzanne Lambert on, and we read was one of the craziest stories. I think one of the kind of intense mother-in-law story. It involved a lot of anguish, a debate in a pantry on 4th of July, and a lot of drama that went up from there. And this was such an interesting story to us. And we were like, I think you ended it with part two coming soon because you're about to do your bridesmaid or no, your wedding dress shopping. So I was like, I have so many questions. Let's reach out to her and see if she wants to come on the podcast. So here you are. So I appreciate you for being vulnerable and coming on and sharing.
Yeah, no, thanks. I mean, honestly, like, it was such a crazy story. And I just think I was just like, well, someone's got to hear this, whether it's for entertainment purposes or therapeutic for me. I was just like, someone's got to hear this. So it's good.
Yeah. So if you guys have not listened to the full episode, I would recommend you guys go back to episode 7 and give it a listen. But let's just do some quick bullet points here. Okay. And we'll kind of walk through it together. Starting off, you said, my fiance and I got engaged in April. We were excited to plan our wedding for next September, and his mother has always been supportive, often teasing him about proposing. So when we called to share the news, she barely finished saying congratulations before asking if she could go dress shopping because she only has two sons. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but then getting into it, the red flags started appearing when you guys all got together at, I think, was it an engagement party?
It was at our house for Father's Day weekend. So we were
Okay.
hosting all the men in our lives. Yeah.
She didn't show up until the weekend was nearly over. When she arrived, there was no warm embrace, no belated birthday wishes for her son, just coldness. My fiance and I decided we needed to address this. He pulled her aside in the pantry while I stayed around the corner.
In the pantry. I love like the sour cream and onion chips listening in, you know?
This seemed like the best spot.
Funny setting for this
I
conversation.
love that she added that in. Like it was really
Yeah, the
necessary to start.
pantry, it really sets the scene. It's like, this is dire. This is a
Yeah.
dire situation.
That was the quickest spot. He started by saying we wanted to resolve things, but she exploded again. She accused us of keeping the wedding a secret because we wouldn't share the venue address, a narrative she created. She claimed I had promised to send it to her and didn't, saying she didn't do shit. At that point, I stepped
Okay.
in the conversation and said, well, it's my turn to enter now. She is like,
What? Wait, the
and
bride said that?
the bride, she's like, well, it's my
Kelly,
turn to enter now.
yes. Step through, step in, push those bagels aside. Tell her how you feel. I love this.
We were just talking about how so many of these stories, like, I feel like the bride is a people pleaser and tells a story, and I feel so heartbroken for her. This
Yeah.
is like the first where I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, she's coming
Yeah.
in hot. She's ready to go.
And it's like the behavior you allow is the behavior that will continue. And if I had to guess, because I've seen this a million times, the vibe growing up was like a super passive aggressive where the son probably just learned it was easier to just not react and let it go and ignore it. But it comes to a head in adulthood and especially during weddings. So I'm glad that she's telling her what's what.
Yeah.
Very proud.
This is a big moment. She stormed toward me, got inches from my face.
How big is this pantry?
I'm damn. Like thinking this like,
sorry, I'm like, clearly I'm like thinking about the pantry. Wow, pantry envy.
How there's like three the pantry people in there at this point.
Yeah. Storming. I'm like, dang, whose house was this, a rental? I want to come check out this dramatic pantry.
Yes. She pointed a finger at me and screamed, "How dare you talk to me that way? How dare you mention boundaries and make me out to be some kind of villain?" Well,
you said it.
Yeah. Before all of this, did you guys consider her like a good relationship, like have a good relationship with her?
Yeah, no, we had a great relationship. And like my fiance's relationship with his mom was always good. Ours was good. She was very supportive of us. And I even noted, but his grandma was in the process of passing away and on her deathbed was like, "You have to marry this girl in 2 months." And he's like, "You're nuts." And of course we wanted to get engaged, but there was like a lot of family support, including his dying grandma, his mother, like all these people. And so there was never really any signs of any anguish, as you said, or upset feelings, really, until the wedding started coming to fruition and that maybe we were making decisions that were for us and nobody else. So I think that's kind of maybe where that happened, or maybe her perception of how that was starting to unfold was different than the reality.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to that first moment where she starts pressuring you to tell the address, even though the month was still like a year out and you said, "This is the name of it. We actually haven't even been there yet." So what happened? Yeah. What all went down?
Yeah, it was crazy. So we were sitting in our living room, just having like normal Father's Day, watching golf kind of thing. And we had told her where we were getting married. We kind of had left out details from the beginning, just as we were figuring them out, told her, and then she was like, "Can you send me the address?" And I was like, "Well, I already shared it with you." And she's like, "Well, I delete my text messages," which is something that I know you guys noted the
yeah,
first
we were
time.
Like, what is she?
We were like, "Who does this?" And I was like, "No, she's just somebody that's just like, just deletes them. I don't know. I don't
she
know."
She actually does. She like, wasn't just saying that.
Goes through and she just like deletes all every thread. It gets deleted like every day kind of thing. So she doesn't keep anything.
Oh.
And she's not with Shunsie. You know, she doesn't keep anything. So I knew that originally she was asking because like she didn't have it. But then as time went on, she started like, and I said, "Well, why do you need it? I told you we were getting married." And she's like, "Well, because I want to go and I want to go see where the hotels are in proximity." And because it's not so far from where she lives, all this stuff. And I was just like, "Oh, no, 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 no." You know, and I just kind of like, "No, that's really not necessary. We have it all figured out. It's April and our wedding is the following September." So we were so far away. I couldn't even open a room block if I wanted to. And so my fiance and I were just like, "What?" So this is kind of happening. And this is starting that conversation again, where it's just very casual. And she's just like, "No, like, just send me it." And I was like, "Well, it seems as though you want to go there. And like, that's not, we haven't even been." And I'm trying to like bridge and understand and really press this down kind of as quickly and as amicably as possible, because she keeps pressing and then I keep trying to bridge it. And so that was like the first of what I thought were like three major incidents within this incident of a day, was her pestering about the venue. And it was just so shocking to us because we were like, "Why are you pressing on this so hard right now at this time and this day?" Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, where is this all coming from? All of a sudden you have to go see it. And it's like, how can she not say that this is a special moment for you and your fiance at the time of being able to like go to the venue together, see it together for the first time before people coming in with their opinions?
Yeah, we to this day still have not seen it, which is hilarious because I planned our whole wedding around a venue I've literally never seen. But that's the thing, is I was just like, "I don't know when I'm going to go. I don't have plans to go as of right now. It's 4 hours away from where we live. This is just the reality of it. And just because you are closer, let's not prioritize your neediness to go." Also, I was expressing it's private property. Like, it's not like you can just show up like a ballroom or a hotel. You can't just show up. And then my fear was that as she was pressing, I started to realize, well, maybe she would go and go to the property and start talking to these people and having conversations that I was not a part of. And so I kind of started spiraling myself. And that's where I think I started getting more worked up by the thoughts of it because of what could happen. And just trying to shut it down in that moment, really, as kind of as possible.
Yeah, because it's totally understandable to be like excited, be like, if you want me included, I would love to be a part of it. But to then press, especially after you're like, well, we haven't even seen it ourselves. It's a private property. You can't just show up. And she's still pushing for it. So then she corners you in the kitchen. How does that all happen? And does this kind of fizzle out first? And you guys are like, just kind of like moving past it. What are other people doing during this time? Like, are they looking at this? Like, is this still happening?
Well, we have a kind of open concept floor. So, like, our kitchen's connected to our living room and connected. And we're kind of outside. So, we had a group outside. No one was really in the house anymore. And she'd kind of come inside and we were in the kitchen together. And everyone else was kind of outside, which is a very similar setup as it was when we were in the pantry situation, which I'll get
Okay.
to. But, and she was just expressing that she was like, are you just so happy I'm going to be your mother-in-law? In the moment, I was taken aback because I'm like, why are you asking this? Like, is this something you're really concerned about? Am I so happy? Am I so not? Because I've obviously been maybe giving off some energy that I was not as excited by your excitement to go to the venue. And I was kind of shutting that down. And then I shut down the conversation about my bachelorette party. Are you kind of getting the vibe that my energy is coming back to you in a different way? And now you're trying to get validation through me by saying, aren't you just so happy? And I tried to like address it as head on as possible and just say, like, yeah, of course I am. But here's what's happening right now is that, like, I feel as though you're trying to step on this, what I would call a boundary, and saying, like, my boundary is that you don't go to the venue and this is the situation. And I would just appreciate that you kind of let us handle it. And I didn't, again, realize at the time the weight of the words I was saying. Again, I was trying to be as amicable as possible, be very choosy with my words and being kind. Ultimately, like, I wanted to be kind to her and just express clearly how I was feeling. And I did not realize the weight of the word boundary and how significant it would play into the rest of the
She's held
situation.
on to that. We
Gripped
don't
on
do
it, like
boundaries in this family.
gorilla grip onto it. Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that it maybe was the first time to be held back from something or maybe to be really put into that box. But at the same time, like, it's funny because you guys noted, where's your fiance in this whole thing? He's outside having a drink, has no idea we're, in the kitchen kind of thing together. And I think in the most of the story, he and I, and the sentiment really is he was just as stunned as I was through the whole thing. And I think his reaction in the fight or flight, mine is fight, his is kind of take a step back and process. And so, whereas I maybe was more communicative with my feelings and clear up front, later in the story, he was much more like nervous and surprised and then had to find a way to then speak and speak up about it. Which is after the situation when we were in the kitchen when he ended up calling her. But I mean, we were by ourselves in the kitchen. And then, as I said, this is my boundary. I don't really remember her exact kind of feelings about it, but we ended up walking away and having the rest of the day kind of be fine. And we thought the day went kind of weird after that. We were just like, man, that was like such odd energy in front of everyone, not just at least the three of us. And that's when he ended up calling her, which came after that.
Yeah. Okay, so we have an issue with the word boundaries. I'm glad you said the thing about like you and your fiance, because I think a lot of times like stories like this are written by the brides and they experience it firsthand because of that kind of like turmoil. I don't know if that's even the right word, but it's like the fiance, we have to remember too, is in a difficult position, right? It's like
Yeah,
obviously
absolutely.
they're choosing you, but at the same time, it's like, I've never seen this side of my mom before. I'm really sorry. But also, what's happening? But also, I love you. I promise. They're like dealing with all these like different emotions and things they're going through. So that's important to say as well. Okay, so these red flags are showing. You're like, okay, we're going to move on from this like boundary day. Then your fiance calls her.
Yeah, so we decompressed. We talked about the day. We're like, wow, that was really weird. Never had an interaction like that. It just seemed as though like she was really pressing and feeling anxious or worked up about the details. And so we called her and was just like, hey, I kind of told him, I said, like, if you feel this way, say it on behalf of you. I don't want you to speak on behalf of me in any way, giving anybody ammunition as to saying, well, she feels this way, she feels that way. I said, just speak on behalf of you and leave it at that. So he said, like, I feel like the other day was weird and the energy was weird. And it essentially, like, maybe being more clear with how he was feeling, I think it really upset her. And she ended up getting so upset with his confrontation of the behavior and just saying, like, and I forget along the lines of what he said, but he was just like talking about this and talking about that. She goes, well, that was a joke. And like, I was just teasing. And he was just like, yeah, it really wasn't a joke or whatever. He kind of addressed things clearly and she just had different perception of it. And then I think that being, as though he was so clear with her and like how he felt, she felt very attacked by that. and very like hurt by that. And the only way I think that she knew how to process that was to literally hang up on him and not talk to him for 3 weeks, which was crazy.
Do the silent treatment. Yeah, I find that so interesting because it's like, okay, respect your elders, communicate. Yeah. And he did just that. He literally called her in an appropriate way, did not out her in front of a bunch of people saying, hey, you're being rude, you know, like literally did the most respectful thing. But there's a certain, I feel like certain people cannot handle being told they did something wrong or someone was hurt by the way they acted.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And I think, again, their relationship was so fine, but why did this instance of confronting behavior, and maybe he never did. And what I've come to realize in the last year about him and his relationship growing up and stuff like that, like he is so unbothered by everything. The man could not be bothered by a single thing. And it is what a peaceful life my fiance lives, because he just does not get worked up about anything. And it takes so much for him to even feel worked up. And so when coming at a situation like this, he can so easily take it in and brush it out. And it's like most people cannot do that, or you internalize a little bit. And so I think that in interactions with her previously or growing up, like he certainly has never felt the need to address anything head on and or felt hurt enough. But I think when it came down to us discussing how we felt and how I expressed to him how that made me feel, he then felt ownership in saying like, okay, well, this is something that obviously we need to talk about and I need to address. But maybe she had never had that be addressed before or been told, to your point, like this was wrong or your behavior upset me in any way. So it definitely stunned her. And he said she hung up the phone and didn't talk to him for 3 weeks. Didn't talk to either one of us for 3 weeks, which was a notable 3 weeks because his birthday fell during that time. And there wasn't like a come back together kind of moment. And it was a little hard. I mean, she expressed after that in the story that that was hard for her. And it's hard for us, like, to have such a normal, good relationship with somebody and then to know there is tension and to know it is present for that whole time, like, was definitely difficult for us too, because like we're just trying to process how we feel about the situation in general and celebrate our engagement. And then also there's this like massive tension that's like building and then kind of being expanded in the family as more people were obviously present and then seeing what's happening and hearing what's happening. And it's kind of expanding, it felt like. So it was hard. Yeah. And then of course it's birthday. So it just felt terrible.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I find it all so interesting because it's like she can, berate is probably a heavy word, but she can call you out in front of everybody, make you feel a certain way, even though you're like constantly putting your boundary down, saying no, no, no. She gets contacted in private by herself, and that's disrespectful. It's not okay. And she goes into silent treatment mode. She goes into like victim mode of like, oh my gosh, you guys are attacking me. And it's just kind of funny to see like the opposites and from different point of views, like how she can't even see like past her own lens.
Yeah. And that's what, like a lot of the work that I've done in therapy and personal therapy is just understanding. Yeah, of course, you have two sides to every story. But like the information that we, to your point, was in private, in a calm way and trying to be clear and communicative. And it wasn't receptive. She wasn't receptive at all of it. So I think that's a piece of getting feedback and then being able to process at the time, at least in the situation, she just did not handle like super well. And then ended up, my fiance and then extended party like ended up suffering in those 3-ish weeks to that before the next major incident. So it was crazy.
Let's get into a Father's Day weekend. This was the part
Fourth of July. This is 4th of July weekend.
Father's Day weekend was the first dinner, so we're talking 4th of July weekend. This was still over the not talking to you stage, completely blocking you guys out. So at that point, okay, let's talk about 4th of July then. So you guys don't hear from her. You guys have a 4th of July party at this house with a really big pantry.
Yes.
This is the part that Suzanne and I were just like, wait, what is happening here?
He's in the pantry now? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, who I'm like visualizing this beautiful, huge pantry.
It is,
So you guys had like a rented house.
Well, yeah. So without giving too many details, my fiance's family has like a larger lodge of sorts, very much like the Hallmark-esque big lodges that they spend their Christmases in kind of thing. They have one in their family. It's also like a hunting lodge kind of thing. So it's just very large. And the kitchen is like an industrial kitchen. So imagine like the big industrial stoves and stuff like that. And so there's just this larger, like, wraparound kind of pantry type of situation that is adjacent
Okay.
off of it. But yes, we're at their
Okay.
family's house, lodge,
Okay.
for better words. But yeah.
So it's his family's house. Everyone's there, but his mom just hasn't shown up yet. She shows up late, right?
Yeah, so she doesn't live too far from there. And so my fiance has like family ownership of the lodge. So we go up, we bring my family, my parents are there, that we all join the lodge for the weekend. So we're there for like the long weekend. And it's her family's place, and his grandpa owns it, and he's there. And then the aunt is there. So everyone that was at the original incident is also now, coincidentally, at 4th of July weekend. So she had every right to be there and all the plans to be there. But it sounds as though, like, obviously, we were struggling with communication. We were obviously not talking. And then so it didn't seem as though she was very excited about the idea of joining us as soon as possible. So we were there for a couple of days before she ended up joining. Yeah.
Oh, and do you think that was her plan all along? Or do you think she just randomly was like, I'm gonna go and make my entrance, my grand
Yeah,
entrance?
it's well, so there was ended up being a couple of things that happened. So there was like this other party that we were going to within 4th of July weekend that was at a house very close, and we ended up seeing her there for the first time. So she
Oh.
was also at this adjacent family party inside of 4th of July weekend,
Oh my
just to give
gosh.
you the vibe. And that is where we first saw her face to face, since he had not speak to her, like been on the phone. And she was very cold, like very much did not want anything to do with us. And at the time, I kind of saw her in the corner, and I could see that she was talking to somebody, and I could see she was very heated about what she was talking about. And I could only imagine that she was kind of recounting what has been going on in her life. And she said a couple of things kind of verbatim that she repeated back to me in the pantry. So I knew that's ultimately what she was talking about. And so I could tell that, yeah, the vibes were a little tense. And so he kind of went up to her and tried to embrace her in some way. And she was very much not into it. I tried to do the same thing. She basically didn't hug me for the first time ever. And so it was like a really cold interaction. And then my parents were at the house, you know, down the road kind of thing. Her whole point was to come there and to spend time with all of us. And she ended up leaving that house and never visited them, never even stopped, like just kept going. So the plan was to be there kind of the whole weekend. And she kind of came in, did her thing, and left for a couple of days, and then came back, what would be ultimately like a couple of days later. So
Oh my
very
gosh.
much not the plan, not the plan at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so
Yeah.
crazy, like looking back, of course, I'm just like, she could have avoided all of this by just like responding to her fiance being like, I'm sorry I made her feel that way. I would love to like get lunch next week and just like hear about your wedding plans, or just like kind of just completely turning it over. Instead, acted like a toddler. Craving more wedding drama? Join my wedding party Patreon for Here Comes the Drama After Dark. Each month, we dive into juicy confessions, wedding 911 advice, and the spiciest hot takes. And of course, we always end with a wild wedding story reacting in real time. From bridesmaids to groomsmen, mother-in-law madness to photographer fails, every month has a new theme. Patreon members get early access to all regular episodes and an exclusive chat to discuss the drama. Don't just hear the drama, be a part of it. Join now.
I mean, yeah, it definitely, like, you could tell she was so upset, and she just didn't know how to process her feelings or how to navigate the situation in general. And like, I get that. I totally get that. We were all in uncharted territory, so it's like we were all processing things and being in this interaction for the very first time. And so I think it's important that we handled it how we felt we could defend and talk about and be proud of. And I don't know if she felt the same way, but it seems as though like she was kind of operating on out of fear and like confusion. And we were really trying to make sure that we were clear and concise and kind. You know, like we didn't want to create any animosity, but a lot of it definitely could have been avoided. And especially this whole like build up to not talking and to not leaving and not coming and not embracing, all this kind of stuff is like, well, that's just hard. Like none of us really wanted to start back up again after so many weeks kind of thing, but it's like someone has to do it. That's why the pantry situation happened, was because I was like, we must do this now, you know,
Yeah.
like it
Get rid of
has
the
to get,
tension.
yeah, we have to try. So
Try. Let's talk the pantry moment. So,
yeah,
the pantry moment.
this large
Okay.
pantry.
So, how did that all come about? So, eventually she shows up at the house on a
Yeah.
day like she kind of showed up later to everyone, like you said. It was kind of weird. She kind of came in and out.
Good,
Tell
good,
me
good.
how that all started, because I think it started with your fiance and her talking, right? And then you were kind of like listening in.
Yeah, I was like, we have to address this. And they had finally just exchanged his birthday gifts. It was kind of okay, but we had no, that was in front of everybody. And so we had no like one-on-one time with her. And so she kind of went in inside and everybody again was sitting outside. And so I was like, well, we should go, we gotta do it. So I was like, go, I'll be behind you. And so she, again, the beginning of the conversation, she kind of thought she was having it with just him. And that's why the detail about me coming into the pantry was kind of a note because she didn't realize I was there because he's standing in the doorway. She's inside the pantry and I'm on the outside behind him. It's a tall man. So it's like she didn't know I was there. So he kind of says, we gotta stop this. You gotta stop. And so then she starts explaining like how upset she is and how this has been so upsetting for her. She kind of starts venting a lot of her feelings. And then the first thing that she kind of said that like threw me was she said she would send me the address and like she didn't send me. And so then I was like, well, it's my time to enter now. And so
I hear
I was
my
like,
name,
we
I'm being summoned.
literally, I was like, well, you brought me into it. Darn it. I'll join now. So I kind of came around the corner and I was like, well, and I kind of said exactly that. Like, well, it's my time to enter now. So like I come in and I was just like, I didn't even get any words out really before she kind of came in and she got very close to me and got very aggressive as far as saying, like, how dare you speak to me that way? You know, how dare you talk about a boundary like that, kind of referencing our Father's Day weekend conversation and just essentially saying that, like, she couldn't imagine it having somebody speak to her that way and what the hell is a boundary kind of thing. And
What the hell is a boundary? Oh no.
like she knows, but she listens like, what the hell? That has nothing to do with this kind of thing. Like, just not understanding the impact of really what I was saying. And she's like, you know, very close to my face. And I was just like, is this really what you're going to do right now? And my fiance, the man was stunned. The man's mouth was probably agape on the ground. Like, and he is, again, he's definitely not a fighter and he's not like a flight, but he's definitely someone who just maybe a little bit freezes, especially in this moment. He's a very like confident person. Like, he knows how to handle stress really well. But I think when it comes down to someone that you really didn't expect it to be from, he just froze in that moment and he said nothing. And so it was just me, you know, me, dukes up, got my hands up. I'm so mentally prepared to handle this conversation. I've had so much therapy that I was like, I can do this. And so I was just like, are you really going to approach a conversation like that right now? Like, I am not being aggressive and I don't have that tone. Like, I just don't think that's productive. And her responses were very aggressive and trying to get her feelings across in a very like loud, big way. And then I lost every all of my therapy in me and I started rising as well. And
Gets to a point where
it's
you're
just
just like,
hard.
whatever.
My ears are bright red. I am just like, my heart is beating out of my chest because I'm trying so hard to contain my thoughts and be clear, but then I'm also being attacked. So I'm trying to process that. My fiance is obviously standing there. I know this is hurting him in some capacity. So it's like a culmination of quite a few things that I felt like were like leaning on my shoulders. And I just started apologizing. And I truly felt apologetic, like I did, that my intentions maybe were not the result of what I said or how she felt. And those were just not received well at all either. So all I can do is apologize. All I can do is take ownership of what may have been unintended consequences and like it wasn't being accepted. So at that point, like, what are we to do? We are not getting anywhere. And we went out, but I can go in circles for a while. And we did. So we went in circles for a while. And then ultimately, it ended up kind of coming to a close in that moment, but not without going on for quite a while before that point. And mind you, we're in a pantry that's an extension of a kitchen, extension of a dining room that has got windows that are open to the outside. So many people, I think, no real confirmation,
This pantry
heard.
has windows?
So the pantry door was open. We were standing in, literally. So we're
Oh.
standing in the door, and then the kitchen's open, and then there's a doorway, and then the doorway goes straight outside.
So
So we're
did you
not
see
that
people
far.
walking by and
No
like
one was in the house. They knew what was going on. So they were like,
avoiding
you
it?
know, yeah,
Did
they were
your
saying,
parents know what was going on? Like, were they like,
yeah,
oh gosh.
everyone did. Yeah, it was sad. My mom actually ended up getting really drunk. She was like so worked up. She was just drinking so much wine. She goes, I got so drunk. And I was just like, you're crazy. Because she was so worked up because she knows I certainly don't need anybody to step in on my behalf. So she was like not worried about having to do that or isn't really that personality type anyway. But she was just so stressed out by the confrontation and
Oh
the
no.
attention that she like got accidentally drunk. But I think that they could hear. So what I know to be true is they could hear parts of it. So I think at that point we ended up coming to kind of a close and it didn't really feel resolved though at all. And it was just difficult to be like, well, this didn't really do what we wanted kind of thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so then the next morning she comes back to the cabin, and that's when you guys talked to her and everything, like,
yeah,
so that she felt disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she just kind of leaves saying, I'm happy we talked.
It was hard because we'd gone kind of the whole day, spending the day on the water, and before this conversation even happened, and I felt so unresolved. It seems as though she kind of came into the day with a cleanish slate and was really trying to put everything behind, but not really addressing it necessarily enough to put it behind. Mm-hmm. She kind of just said, well, that happened and now it's over. And so as the day went on, I just kept feeling so much more tension building up because I was like, how are you going on? Is it like, this did not happen yesterday, and you know, mm-hmm. like, this is not really resolved. And so then I was like, I'm going to say something. And I was like, I want to say something. And I was like, I need you right here. So we kind of approached it. And I just said, like, I felt very disrespected by the comments that were made and the way that you spoke to me and the tone that you spoke to me. And I said, essentially, I felt like she was damaging the relationship that we did have. And to me as a person, like, I felt like a wounded bird and somebody's just punching it. I just felt as though, like, I was already down and it just felt like I was getting punched. And so I tried to communicate that. I didn't really feel a lot of, again, apologetic energy from her. It was more so just like trying to find a means to an end or trying to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. And then as I'm saying things, I'm more verbal processor, but as I'm saying things, I'm trying so hard to get off my chest to say it and to feel it and to communicate it. And I just kept feeling like my blood pressure rising. Like everything was just getting more. And she goes in for a hug and she's like, I'm so happy we talked. And I was just shaking. And mm-hmm. like, I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. So it was really hard because I felt like I was trying so hard to do everything the right way. And then finally I get it all out and I feel no bit better, like not even a single percent better. But we were having tension in the conversation, and then my fiance kind of stepped in and be more clear and communicate from his perspective, maybe someone she was more open to listening to. And, you know, he was just kind of shutting down some of the other things that she was saying. And she, again, more a little bit more receptive maybe to him, but the problem definitely was coming from me and maybe my more outspokenness in general about the situation. So it was really hard. And I was like, I wasn't really happy we talked. I'm happy I said what I said, but
yeah,
you know, I don't feel like immensely better because of it at
yeah.
all. So
that's how I kind of understood it while I was reading
yeah.
it, because it seemed
yeah.
very like you were very open with her. You were very forward with how you felt. And then she was kind of just like, okay, happy we talked. Bye now. Yeah. And I just picture that yeah. being like, oh, she's trying to just brush it, put it under yeah. the rug, which I get yeah. to a certain extent. Yeah, like, let's move on. But also, like, you did a lot of hurt. You caused a lot of issues.
Yeah.
The way you acted is going to create this little barrier now between your son and his future wife. Okay, so now let's get to the new stuff.
Part two.
Part two.
Yeah.
It's been
yeah.
almost 2 months, you said, since the incident, and you made an appointment to go dress shopping with your mom, your fiance's aunt, and his mom. When I read that, yeah. I was like, whoa, okay. So she's still invited. She's still coming
yeah.
along. How did
yeah.
that go? What's been going on since?
Yeah, so I felt as though it was still my responsibility to extend an olive branch, or regardless of kind of where our relationship was, if that was something that I had to do. And ultimately, it would have certainly caused more damage if I didn't invite her, if she wasn't a part of it. And then giving her the opportunity to maybe make some adjustments as to how we're handling like wedding stuff. Like if she felt as though something really was wrong in the way she handled like the venue conversation, stuff like that, here's your opportunity to handle it differently. So we did go dress shopping, the aunt, the mom, my friend. You guys obviously mentioned the first part, like bringing like a mean friend. I did have a friend there that she was like prepared to potentially like fend off any comments or any mm-hmm. attitude from really anybody. Ultimately wasn't needed. The dress shopping actually went really, really well. I think she just had a lot of big feelings at the time, and they'd kind of settled at that point up until then. And that was, you know, like in September. So that was like quite a few months ago now. But we checked that box, like we did that. And then I continued to dress shop with not who I wanted necessarily, but just like who other groups of people I wanted to go with. So she kind of went the first time and then proceeded to check in and understand like how the process was going for me, because I didn't buy anything that day as I continued to shop. And that kind of went from there. Since then, I would say it's been better. It's definitely been hard because it's not the same as it was. And there's pieces of me that just feels sad about that and like wondering, is it gonna be like this forever, or is other situations gonna bring up more explosive feelings? Like, could this happen again, essentially? And so my fiance and I started premarital counseling end of last year, kind of as this was settling down, much after the dress shopping. And we have learned a lot in there together about like this relationship with us, of course, but then with her and our families together and stuff. And so that's provided us with a lot of like learnings and something I'd recommend to literally everyone doing premarital counseling and then talking about like common issues that you guys face together, which this was one that we were facing kind of together. And it gave us a lot of clarity. It gave me a lot of clarity as to how, like, you know, she was feeling, and she was kind of operating out of a state of fear and maybe feeling as though like her son's finally getting married kind of feeling. And so I like better understood, I think, her perspective. And we never really had like a long conversation about like, let's look back on this kind of thing. And I don't think we ever will, but I'm trying to understand like what I learned from the situation and how I can take it forward into the future. And if something else happens again with her or any one of our family members, like how essentially I have the tools and that we have the tools to like get through something like that based on what we've learned. So we're trying to improve that relationship with her. And we have gone up to their house and stayed with them and spent time with them outside of that. And it's definitely like more positive than it was. I wouldn't say it's just the same as it was before. So, but at the same time, like maybe it's a lesson learned that the distance and like the separation of, well, maybe we don't need to talk every day, or maybe we don't need to be involved in every decision, was like a huge lesson learned for maybe her, or on both sides of just like what this dynamic is now that he does have a fiance and someone that he's building a life with and to talk to every day. And so maybe if you guys aren't talking as much, it's because we're talking a little bit or whatever that looks like. It's a lot of change, so I totally understand that, but it's definitely been more positive than it was then. Like, we're on a small incline, kind of getting better.
Getting back to, like, how things were. No, that's good. And I think that will give a lot of people hope, too, through, like, communication. And you make a good point, too, about it might never be back to how it was, because sometimes when you see a certain side of people or you see how they treat you in a certain way, you're like, okay, I have to tread these waters lightly. Because you're afraid of like, okay, am I going to say the wrong thing? Or is my boundary going to offend them again? And so I think it's smart to like, in those moments, be like, okay, I'm going to like, just tread lightly, keep my distance a little bit. We're going to be respectful of each other. So I think your story can help people see that communication can go far. And you can only do so much. Like when someone's being difficult like that, and just giving the silent treatment, that was probably her working through everything, like what's happening here. I've never been told no like that before, or I've never had a boundary set against me. Or they think like, oh, a boundary means I'm a terrible person. I'm not a terrible person. And so they immediately get like defensive. So I feel like you were so gracious with her, like giving them time and like space. I mean, not necessarily like you asked for time and space, but she just—
No, yeah.
But yeah, I think sharing these stories are good. Like we were kind of talking about before recording, it's like sharing these stories are good because people that are going through something similar can be like, oh, okay, I'm not crazy. I went through something like this. Or I am a mom and I was crossing the boundary for my son-in-law or my daughter-in-law.
Yeah, I feel we learned a lot on how to tackle maybe quote-unquote problems as a couple, because I feel like most often people either seek help in their relationship because they're obviously fighting with each other. But this was kind of a common thing that we were going through together. And so it was something that was very difficult in terms of balancing, well, this is his mom and his relationship. So a lot of what we've learned, I think, kind of moving forward is that like we each deal with our own families, and mine's not absolved of the drama. Like there's stuff there too. And I think that I deal with that and he deals with his. And it's not so much that we are individuals dealing with our— it's just because what we found, or what I found, is that like families can probably be more receptive coming from their own family members. So kind of crossing that communication, like me talking directly to her, is not a problem, but could probably be better received potentially if it came from him. So we started kind of saying, well, if as long as you feel the same way, if we feel the same way, and this is a situation that happened with both of us, like you can handle it, or you can address it, or what that looks like. It changes every situation, but that was a big lesson learned. And then I've done a lot of like work and understanding relationships, and there's just like a path to expressing yourself and then letting it go that you kind of have to follow. When you cannot change what people think, you cannot change how people react. And so the best thing you can do is be clear and say how you feel, focus on the outcome that you want to get out of it. But if you want to change people's emotions in a situation, like, you have to stop. That's not something that you can change. You can only focus on if you want an apology or do you want to be listened to. But like, you cannot ask for empathy. You cannot ask for understanding. Like, those things are not something that you can ask for. And then if those things are happening and the situation becomes reactive, you kind of have to walk away. So again, learned a lot from the situation that in general, I think is just good life advice and relationship advice. But I think there is hope for other people dealing with this situation and or even dealing with conflict like this in general. I think it's just all about like using those emotional intelligence tools in order to have productive conversations on difficult topics and strengthen your relationship from within. So when you deal with stuff like this, it's not me versus you, or it's not us versus anybody. It's just more communication than this tension and this big outburst or this big long situation. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like those were such great parting words that people can hold on to that advice. Cause like we all could use a little therapy. And I feel like that was very helpful to just take to our own relationships, because especially a lot of people that listen have either dealt with this kind of situation or similar situations, or they might in the future. So I think it's helpful to know, you know, we can't control other people's emotions. All we can do is control ourselves and how we can communicate, essentially. So
yeah, there's hope. I mean, it's gotten better and I assume it's going to continue getting better. But I think at the end of the day, like, this situation happens because somebody cares so deeply. And in some capacity, it comes from a very good place. So it's difficult as it presents itself, either out of fear or anxiety or sadness. But ultimately, like, the core emotion is different, or just there's a lot of change going on, stuff like that. So I feel as though like the intention is always, mostly always good. And you kind of have to sink back into that and say, well, what can I do to best understand this person, knowing that they're coming from a good place? And if you know they're not coming from a good place, just don't interact. Like, just take a step back, stay as far away as possible and until you feel as though that's the situation, because it's just probably won't go anywhere. But
yeah, don't waste your energy on people like that that are just trying to make you feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and being vulnerable and sharing. I really appreciate it. And you speak so well. And I feel like we talked about, like, there's so much to learn from this situation, but I feel like you came out of it stronger. You learned a lot. And I feel like it's great seeing that you're applying it now to like future things. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And honestly, like, I just hope this helps anyone. So just happy to be here.
Yeah. All right, Ferris and Sloan fans, if you've been hooked on the drama that's racked up over 50 million views across platforms, you're not going to want to miss this. My new novel, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is coming soon. And part one will be free exclusively for my newsletter subscribers. Ferris and Sloan thought their engagement would be the start of their happily ever after. But Ferris's overbearing mom, Kate, has other plans. From sabotaged wedding events to emotional manipulation, Kate's doing everything she can to tear them apart. It's heartfelt, it's chaotic, and it's your new obsession. Will Sloan and Ferris survive the wedding planning meltdown of the year? Or will the drama be too much for their love to handle? Tap the link in the show notes to sign up for their newsletter and be a part of the exclusive group that will get the first part free, plus first access to pre-orders for the full book. The drama is coming, and trust me, you'll want front row seats. Thank you again to our anonymous guest for coming on and sharing her story and sharing some insight. I think we can all learn a little bit from it. And it also shows that like therapy is good. If you need to learn a bit about yourself or how to handle relationships, there's no harm in doing it. She had some great insights. And I think it's really, really important to know that we can always grow and learn from moments like this. And so these stories can help us kind of see like, okay, maybe I am overstepping here. Maybe I do need a boundary here and we can only control ourselves. All right. If you guys have not heard the full story, definitely go back to episode 7 with Suzanne Lambert and listen to the full thing. That's our full reaction to it. It was a crazy story. And I'm really glad to hear that things are kind of on their way up. I'm sure things are still a little rough. Okay, let's get into weekly confessions and then we'll be on our way. This first one says, before walking down the aisle, I turned to my dad and said I didn't want to do it. I still did it. No. Okay. I need to know more about this, because if you are turning to your dad and say, I don't want to do it, why is he like walking you down the aisle? Why? How are things going for you? How long ago was this? This is crazy. This one says, I'm terrified I picked the wrong wedding dress and it's too late. I mean, okay, here's what I would say about that. It's only wrong if, like, you just don't feel like right in it or doesn't fit you or you picked it for somebody else. But ultimately, there's so many options out there. There's so many like ways you might feel, oh, like I could have picked this dress instead. And it's very overwhelming. But I would just try it on again. Picture your hair, makeup, the way you're going to do it. And I'm sure it'll be great. My sister was planning my bachelorette with activities she loves, but knows that I hate. Okay, if she's purposely doing things that you hate, who else is involved in this planning? And did you know before going on the bachelorette, if you haven't gone yet, we need a bridesmaid getting in there and changing things up. Okay, I want to do something a little bit different today. So I posted this thread on TikTok asking people to share the weirdest thing that they've ever seen at a wedding. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to read some of the craziest ones. And guys, I got like 300 responses. So let's see. This is gonna be kind of random. So let's see. Okay, sister of the groom set the wedding dress on fire. What? While the bride walked down the aisle in a banquet hall because she found out the bride cheated on the groom a week before the wedding. Did not witness, but saw the video. Wait, what? That was literally the first one that popped up when I opened this. I have to know more about this. So she found out. Oh my gosh. I mean, you're putting fire on someone in a wedding dress. That's, I don't know. I don't know the right way to handle a situation. Like, that would suck, but let's not like hurt someone. I don't know. Okay. At my sister's reception, her new mother-in-law and sister-in-law proceeded to try to take a load to load up all the cake, food, and beverages to take home with them. My mom paid for the entire reception. They didn't. Yeah, I mean, I would send home food with like everybody, but to just take it when you didn't pay for it is a little tacky. Okay, my stepmom threw an absolute fit when I wanted a picture of my husband and me with my mom and dad, stormed out of the church and refused to come back in until I apologized. I didn't. Here we are 37 years later. See, I don't get that. So my parents are still married. So I've never had step parents. But like as someone from the outside with no knowledge of any of it, I don't get what would be so bad about having your parents, the ones that gave birth to you, in a picture together. I feel like it comes from insecurity or jealousy at some point, or you would hope that it wasn't like the stepmom came in as a root of infidelity or what. I'm not trying to make assumptions here, but why would it bother you for your stepchild to have their parents in the photo? Okay. My aunt refused to go to my sister's wedding because my sister didn't ask for our aunt for her okay to get engaged. So she boycotted the wedding. I'd be like, good, don't come. What? Why does an aunt need to give approval? That's like unheard of. Interesting. I was doing wedding photography and was not told goats would be at the part of the ceremony nor the reception. No one had control of them, and they loved my equipment and me. Let's just say I had to replace wires and cards they ate, wedding picture cards tripped on, walked on, watched the wedding cake get knocked over, tables jumped on, and they ate the bride's flower bouquet. It's chaos. That's something that needs to be in the contract. Why are they having goats? Like, I think it's one of those things, like, you know, when you have like birds or like different animals, they're animals still. They can act a certain way. That's crazy. Let me do two more. There are so many, you guys. You have to go find this thread. I posted it to TikTok and Instagram, and the comments do not disappoint. Brother-in-law caused the wedding to be over an hour delayed. He had the music, but he was home shaving his head. The minister talked about marriage being a commitment, but then the groom turned around to look at the congregation when he was asked if there's anyone else he'd rather be with, started vows, but mixed up last names. Despite being corrected, he ended up introducing them as Mr. and Mrs. Bride's last name. Same wedding. Oh my gosh. You're talking about the minister? That is terrible. The wrong last name. Oh my gosh. Okay. This person goes, ooh, this was from my wedding. The best man and maid of honor gave their speeches, and out of nowhere, my mom took the mic from the maid of honor and gave a horrendous speech. She never once asked or mentioned to do one. That's when we're cutting the cord and we're saying, no more speeches tonight. Thanks everyone for coming. Okay, there's so many. So if you guys have not a chance to read that thread, go check it out. Thank you so much to my guests for coming on this week, being vulnerable and sharing, because I know that's not easy. Again, they are anonymous. We're going to block them out of this. But this was a crazy story that it was great getting more insight into what actually happened and hearing that their relationship is on the up and up. So remember, there is hope through communication, through setting boundaries and standing firm. All right, thanks again for tuning in, and I will see you guys next time. Bye now. Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.